Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy,
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
graves at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray that all of you will have a joyous holiday. You know, most of us know, and those that really know the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't understand that he was not born December the 25th. But that was the time that men picked to honor his birthday. But you know, that's all right, but we need to be honoring it every day. We need to never forget, because his birth was meant actually for all of us today, even for those of his day on the earth, also to prepare them for what was to come. We're going to take a look, though, at this life of Jesus. God has given me some things that really I had never really thought about, because I had been taught something different about it. We're going to be sharing with you this evening some of those things. I'm going to start out here with Luke chapter 2. With the birth of Jesus. Because we're going to find out some things about his first days here on this earth that a lot of us have been taught mistakenly about. But to begin here with verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, we've all heard that, about that. Very few of us know about what swaddling clothes were. But you see, the swaddling clothes and the reason for this is not really explained here in the Bible in this setting. But we can find it in other places. When a lamb was first born, in order to keep it from breaking legs and things, it was wrapped in strips, in bandage strips, to keep it from being hurt or breaking legs or anything that way, because the lambs they talk about here in the Bible, where these shepherds are watching, are special. They are special lambs. They are to be used for sacrifice, which means that they cannot have a blemish nor spot. That's why they were so well taken care of by these shepherds. Now, we find here that Jesus had been wrapped the same way, that he was in bandage strips of cloth. They were wrapped around an infant in that day and time to ensure that the limbs would grow straight. And not, as they called it, to swaddle a child, would be considered a form of abuse. Think about that. Because this wrapping would aid the shepherds in identifying Jesus. That was another reason for him to be wrapped that way. Now, we pick up here in verse 8, and it says, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. Well, how would you be if suddenly an angel appeared to you with a great light from heaven shining around you? I'm sure you would be just as afraid or shook up as they were. But then here it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this sign shall be, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. You see, I wasn't making that up. It was done also for a sign to these shepherds. Because these shepherds named here in God's word were the first visitors to see him. I'm not saying there wasn't some because we don't know. But these are the first ones named. And said, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now we find that there is a multitude now of angels around about praising God. So you see, this babe wasn't born quietly. Now, verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. So they've agreed now to go and see this that had happened. In 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, don't you notice here, when they got there, we're told that they found a babe lying in a manger. Now we picture, and I know I did, and all through the years, most everyone that I knew pictures a stable as being in or part of a barn made of wood and the feeding trough, which is what the manger is. Also made the wood. But you see, all around Bethlehem, there was these small cave-like places back in the hills that they used as stables. And the mangers had been carved out of the sides of rock. And as the sheep and lambs would go in, they would eat from that manger. Now, we don't know which was used because the Bible doesn't tell us. We just know it was a stable and a manger. But we don't know really what it was like. And it really doesn't matter. Because it was what was going on there that matters mostly. But most of us never thought about it being a cave. But it could have very well been. It goes on to say, had to find this baby laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, you know, you and I probably, I know I was, told in Sunday school and in church in my younger years, that these shepherds brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I want you to notice here, it says nothing about them bringing gifts, but they went about talking about him, spreading the word about him. And it goes on here in 19, it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, if you'll go with me now over to Matthew, you see, we were always led to believe that not after the shepherds was there to see this babe, that there was three wise men come right in behind him. This was not so. Now, we find these wise men in Matthew chapter 2, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, here in English, they're calling them wise men. But in the Jewish language, they were called magi, because they were men of great prominence. They had a lot of, as we'd use today, pull among the land, to where they could even go up and go against kings, even. That's how strong they were. We know that they were even of a priestly estate among the Persians, Babylonians, and these magi from the east were expert in the study of the stars. Tradition claims that there were three royal visitors who were also kings. However, there is not real historical evidence to verify this. But among the Jewish people, they knew, because they knew about the Magi. Now, but we know that they've gone now, because they went to Herod. And they asked him this question there in Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. But you see, the reason he was disturbed was because he had already heard that Christ was king. He was a king being born. And to him and his selfish pride, he was afraid of this baby, to be honest with you, because he was afraid that he was going to take his place, although he didn't know his place wasn't going to be and last much longer. All right, now, verse 5. They said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. Now they told him that he was born in Bethlehem. But where is this star actually at now? Because we're going to find out something else that most of us never thought about or knew. Going on with 6 says, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. You see, he is still believing that they are in Bethlehem. But we are no longer dealing actually with Jesus as a baby. And if you notice here, we're not even calling him a baby anymore. We're calling him a young child. Because as we go and we study deeply and do some research, we find out that from the time that Jesus was born, it's been 2 years before these wise men show up. We'll go on here with 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, when the shepherds went to see this baby, the parents and this baby were still in the stable. He was still in the manger. Notice here, since when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, you see, Joseph and Mary are no longer in a stable. They are in a house. And we're going to find out here in just a little bit where this house is. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. He's with her now. A young child. Still not being called the baby. With his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, it was these wise men that gave them the gifts. It wasn't the shepherds, it was the wise men. Now, in being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, listen to this. And when they were departed, Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And there was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of by the prophets, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. You see, when the wise men saw him, there had been time in between. But Herod did not know that. But he was still so upset wanting to find the Lord Jesus Christ that he gave an order for his men to go into Bethlehem and all the coast thereof for 2 years or from and thereof. From 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently imparted the wise men. You see, he knew that he could be as old now as 2 years old. And that's why he picked him. And he was to have all of the young men killed. From 2 years and under, all the male children, 2 years and under. Now, go back. Now, I want you to see the difference in what we had originally been taught about the shepherds and the wise men and the difference in the age of the Lord Jesus. Now we're going to go back to Luke though, and we're going to pick back up here with them while they are still in Bethlehem with the baby. Because we find that there's things that has to be done. It says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angels before he was conceived in the womb. Well, we all do know that, because the angel, when he told Mary what was going to happen, he gave her the name then and told her about him. But now they took him to get him circumcised. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, they took him to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, how much power has God got around this baby? Well, let's find out. You see, we're taking a look at the Lord's life as he will grow. Now, here while he is still a baby, but how much power has God got around this child? Verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. He's got to be seeing the Lord Christ before he dies. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, in other words, to perform that duty, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. The word he was talking about was where God had promised him he would see. And he would see the Lord Christ before he died. Now, he's not only seen him, but he has helped him. And he goes on here and he says, for mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and raising again of many in Israel for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword pierced through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now we know that there was a woman also named Anna. And she was a prophetess that lived and worked there in the temple. Now, as we read here in verse 36, it says, she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. In other words, 84 years old. And she departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting, prayers, night and day. And she coming in that instant gave Christ likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. Now they went back to Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now we have seen the difference between the shepherds and the wise men. And we've read about the circumcision and how God praised from Simon and this Anna because they had been witness of the fact and they had seen and heard of him. But now he's growing. And the next we really hear of him, we find here starting with verse 41. He's now 12 years old. And it says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Lord, they had went to the feast of the Passover. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus carried behind in Jerusalem. He wasn't even with us. And they didn't know it for a time, because evidently they was, a lot of them had went together, and even a lot of his kin people. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. See, they didn't know he had carried. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought among their kinfolk and acquaintance. They went a day's journey. So now imagine for the night. Now they look for him. They can't find him. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now they find him. But look where they found him and what he was doing. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they searched for him 3 days. They found him in the temple. He'd been there all this time, sitting in the midst of the doctors. These great men, supposed to be so knowledgeable in the word. And then the scriptures. And he was sitting in the midst of them, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answering. He wasn't just asking questions, but he was also answering questions they was giving and asking. Says they were astonished at his answer. Now, they couldn't figure out, as young as he was, how he could have that much and that kind of understanding. When they saw him, they were amazed. This is his mom and dad. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. We've been looking for you in sorrowing. They didn't know what had happened to him. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Was you not that I must be about my father's business? You see, when he asked, was you not, he was also, he didn't, he said, did you not realize that there is a certain tension between Jesus, the responsibility to his parents on the one hand, and to his heavenly Father on the other? But you see, that lets you and I know, if we are to be a child of the living God, we must choose our Lord first. First. Think about it. And who is our Lord? Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes it gets hard for us to understand things. Because if we don't take the time to really study what is going on, we don't really see the depth of it. That's one place that's letting us know we must put God first. That's what Jesus was doing. Now, it may have been good for him at the time to have told his parents he was going to stay. But he didn't. But that shows the human side of him. Also, he was just a child, but he was also born up long with the knowledge of God to know who he had to put first in his life. It says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, we hear very little more about him until after John's ministry, his preaching about his coming on the earth, and he's letting them know that he has already been born and all, and he is preaching to them about repentance. And then we find when Jesus was 30 years old, you see, he had walked from the time of his birth until he was 30 years old without filled with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit living in him. Put it that way. We know the Holy Spirit had to be dealing with him at the time. Then we also know there was things going on within his own family. It was not too awfully good. His brothers and sisters didn't believe in him at the time. But then he went. We find in verse 21 of chapter 3 of Luke, it says, now when all the people were baptized, came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my son, in thee I am well pleased. Well, you see, now the Holy Spirit has moved within him. But what happened to him? What happened to Jesus at that time that the Holy Spirit had come upon him? Something to think about, isn't it? Something for you and I really to think about. But you see, when that happened, we go into chapter 4, and Jesus being full, now, pardon me, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterwards was hungry. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be bread. You see, Satan knew he was hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. But, you know, here's how Jesus answered that. And Jesus answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We are to really spend time with God's word. And when we don't, we pay terrible prices for it. I know. Now, then wasn't too tempted in those, see. Then the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Pardon me a moment. Now, in verse 6, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Some temptation, isn't it? A lot of problems. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written. You see, Satan also knows a lot of the scripture. He's using it here. For it is written, he shall give the angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. But here is a good saying that we all need to remember. In verse 12, and Jesus answered, said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. Now, that's his life up to this point. His ministry is now just getting ready to start. Maybe the Lord will let us get back into that. But if not, he'll lead us where he wants us. So let us get ready. Now go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for each and every day that we live. We pray, Father, that you help us move stronger and closer in and with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Let us never, Father, depend upon ourselves, but let us always put our dependence, our trust, our love in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. He is our healer. He is our King. He is the one that loves us enough that he was willing to die on the cross to take our sins, our sicknesses, our diseases with him to the cross. And we have been told, by his stripes we are healed. Some may have shown their faith for healing instantly. But don't let that keep you from being healed. Once you go and accept that healing, have patience. Because he knows at what time it will do the best and the greatest blessing for you. And how you will use it. These are things we don't know, Father, but he does. Now, I pray for Kenny Powers. I pray for Dennis Lee. I'm praying for James Tate. I'm praying for Bobby and Millie Johnson. I'm praying for Sue and David Branson. Myself, my family, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, Father, and my wife that needs your touch so greatly so that she can come home to be with me. We're putting all of this in your hands, Father, and all of them in their families. And Father, I pray for every family that has someone born again in it, that they all begin to listen and to grow into the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, Father, there's only one God. We know that the three that we talk about, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. Now, Father, be with me throughout this evening. Keep me safe, keep me in health. And Father, open up your word for me. Give me the depth of it and the truth so that I never misteach anything, because let it always be by the words that the Holy Spirit will give to me. Because, Father, they are yours. Now watch over us. Keep us all safe. Keep us all sound. Bring us all together again Sunday morning. This, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great night now. And always remember, with Jesus, he'll walk with you. So until Sunday, keep God at your side. Keep me in your prayers. And may the Lord be a blessing unto you. Good night, all. Have a great holiday.